grab my cell phone, which I never do in church unless it has something really to do with the moment. Trying to find the... I like to put, when I say something, I don't like it to be like an urban legend. I know what I'm saying here, but I like to put names, facts, and actual dates so it's not hearsay. But you've heard me exhort this before, and many of you will know. Excuse me. I will remember this man's name and commit it to memory for the future so that I'm not... But this song reminds me a lot of our prayer this morning. So it was actually penned, or part of this song, It Is Well With My Soul, was back when the only way to travel was by shipping. Titanic days, but this was not the Titanic. But I was wondering if somebody's texting me the information, but they're not. It's something else. He came over first. His wife was going to follow, I believe, and I'm not trying to bring hype, but I think it was two young daughters. And they were to travel in the months following he came to the United States, and they were to come. And when she, his wife, and the family came over the ship, which happened a lot in those days, sank, and many were survivors, but they lost their children. And when she could get, of course, he here then found out about it. She sent him a wire. He couldn't call, but it was something saved, but saved alone. And he knew that he had lost his family. And then I think it was like a year or two later, they took a voyage back over to Europe or wherever they were from. And he asked the captain to please give, if once they got to the coordinates of where it was that the ship that went down with his family was at, to give them, would he give him a heads up? Would he let him know within 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or whatever, so he would know that he was right over the spot? When he got to that spot, he began to go out on the deck and pray. It was at that spot that he began to write these words, "It's well with my soul." Now, you cannot express those things to God unless God comes, unless God brings forth a supernatural. Yes. And he began to worship God and do what only a person that could possibly look into the face of God and say, "Lord, I will serve you no matter what. I will follow you. And with you, all things are well with my soul." We have so much to be thankful for this morning. I'm going to ask you to please stand with me once again. Hallelujah. Would you lift your voice? Would you lift up your hands and just begin to praise God? For Father, it's well with our souls. We give you all the praise, all the glory for great things that you have done. Sending Jesus, giving us eternal life, giving us a life that knowing this, that no matter whatever happens in this life, there is an afterlife, which we'll share with all of our family. This is why we teach our kids, serve the Lord, follow the Lord. This is our guarantee above all things, that eternity waits for all of us. We glorify you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We exalt you, Jesus. This is our assurance. Your eternity, Lord. We give you glory. We'll live forever. We'll live forever one day. Not one day, but now we're living forever. Everlasting life you've given to us now. Hallelujah. Death is only a hiccup. It's only just a moment. It's just a very slight moment. This is the shortest part of our existence. A billion years from now, we'll all still be alive. I glorify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, we're all going to, all of us that are on this walk and all of you that are serving the Lord, we'll all know each other there. We'll all be a part of a family. So Candy swears that, and I said, Candy, but she says, no, we'll have our own mansion together. You know, we won't be doing anything, but the thing of it is, I mean, when you've been married close to 50 years, you figure you've got some kind of inside with God. Like, okay, nobody else gets to, but at least we get to, Lord. Hallelujah. So hallelujah. But we'll always be together. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be here. Well, I'm a little past half, but I got 55 more years to go. So, and I know that for a certain, you may think that's funny, but, I hope you stay around to laugh at me when I'm 120. And, so if you're a little bit less than me, I can't give you that promise, but a lot of you in here will, you know, if you claim that and follow God, we're believing God for long life. Long life. Hallelujah. We've got a lot to do. We've got a lot to do. Hallelujah. Make sure you live right. Praise God. If any of you go, I don't want to ever have to question. I don't want to even, there shouldn't be any question, okay? No question. Hallelujah. Why don't you give each other a hug? And I'm coming through the camera to get my hug. Amen. God bless. Praise God. Amen. Well, we have some birthdays to remember. So, little Jimmy, he's hiding. Stand up. Does everybody see this guy? Turn around and look at little. Thank you. You can be seated. I'll have you stand in a minute. Would you go up to please? Let me just say some things, because sometimes it's best to kind of memorialize somebody and let you know. Jimmy's been communicating a lot with me over the last several weeks. But he's really, it's amazing the work that God's doing in his life. And we need to support him in every way possible, in prayer and just loving on him. His family came here years ago. Most of you don't know them. His dad was a part of leadership. He's since moved on, is in another state. And his sister, I believe, lives in another state. Is that correct? His brother, his older brother, passed away tragically a few years ago. And in a little bit of a sense, his mom is still around, but never really was a part of the church so much, but we love her so much. But we want to make sure Jimmy knows he's not on his own, because he's making a comeback. And he's step by step making a comeback. And when people start to come back and follow God and pull themselves up, we're here to help them get themselves up. Hallelujah. So Jimmy, would you please stand?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Welcome. Anybody else this past week? All right, Davey, come up here. This is Davey Jean Flint Lubin. And she is my youngest daughter, and she was born on the 4th of July. Yeah. Now, just like I said something about Jimmy, I've got to take this moment to say something about Miss Davey. Okay? So let me tell you about Peace Early Learning Center. It's a Christian preschool that has been a ministry of Peace Lutheran Church since 2011. And you've been there since that time. Actually, before. You put your application in there before 2011. Peace Early Learning Center is committed to providing a loving, nurturing environment where your child will feel safe and secure. Through our daily activities and Christian values, our experienced teachers will guide your child through their development stages and help them develop skills in all areas of their development. We believe each child is created by God as an individual who is valued and unique. Hallelujah. So Davy put her application in as a teacher prior to 2011.
It was July 2011.
Let me give you this. Oh, God, yes. Your sister's the same way. She goes like, I know you. So she got started there, and her husband, Watson, which many of you know, he can't be here most Sundays because he works. A great provider. Good job. But as you know, nowadays it's almost, it's so difficult without two incomes. Well, Davy started working, and when she went to high school, she majored in socialism. The socialism of being a socialite. And but when she came out of high school and then got married and then got kids, something happened to her. She grew up. It was amazing transformation. It was really amazing. And she reminds me so much of what Gary Carpenter has taught about prosperity. She really does. He teaches, and we were just recently listening to a series that he was doing. It's fantastic, and I've gone through it before. But about that, if you want to prosper, it's not just a thing of claiming the word. There's also a practical application many times where you have to do something about it. He uses Kevin, his son-in-law that I know very well. It's a wonderful guy, and how that he went back to school, did things, and then as a result of continuing education, degrees and different things. And Davy, he was able to advance himself and get an incredible job. But Davy did the same thing. She went back to school, went into education, got some degrees, got some state diplomas, and she just went up the ladder there. And last year, we kept the kids as she went away for someplace up the state and got some more director's education and a director's license. And for the last, she just went up and up. And then last year sometime, now this school, I looked at it this morning on Facebook. I never had done that before. And it's incredible, all of what you guys are doing. And so you guys won an award last year, I think, for what was that?
What is it? Best of the best? Best preschool?
Best preschool in Naples.
Naples and Bonita.
Naples and Bonita. And, you know, you got some, not that I'm impressed with affluency, but you got doctors and lawyers and all those kinds of people putting their kids in these schools. And so they got the best of the best, which is great. How many kids are there now?
Or
how many?
144
families.
She's
Whitney started coming to our church, and she's Davy's right hand, and we appreciate Whitney coming. Whitney's the one I scared when I said the devil just came in. So last year you got a promotion, and you became the assistant director. She also became, over the last several months, a surrogate of the in a director's position because of a dear lady was having some real health issues and a battle with cancer, in which she's winning. We're believing God. And I've prayed. I've laid my hands on that dear lady. But she decided to retire, and she put in that she felt that Davy was in a position after all these years to be the director of the school. And like I say, she's been going for years now, getting more education, teachers' degrees and different things. And so this past recent, the board met in the last couple months and took the director's recommendation for Davy to be her replacement and become the director of the school. And so Friday was this dear lady's last day, and tomorrow you become the director. And it's so wonderful to see, and incredible raise. Now I know who to go to borrow money from. And tell us a little bit about your journey, if you don't mind. Just, I know, you know, I didn't. Exactly. Thanks, Dad.
So I did. I started. I started childcare my freshman year of high school. I started with the childcare program at Mockley High School, and I did all 4 years. But then when I left there, I didn't really feel like childcare was my thing. I really didn't know what was my thing. I think just going out was my thing. So I started, and I did go to college for a little while for something else. But then in the meantime, I was working at a very well-known corporate early learning center. I worked there for 4 years. And then when I got married, I was still there. I had Josiah. He was just a few months old. And I knew it was in Estero. We were living in Naples, and I drove back and forth for a few months. And I wanted something closer. So I started praying, and I was like, man, I know there's something better. And at that time, I was like, okay, I have a kid. I started realizing if you want to be a working mom and make money and be able to afford to take your kid somewhere, childcare is where it's at. So I was like, I'm going to work here so that I can make money. Josiah can come with me, and I'll just stay here for a little while. I'll just do this while he grows up. So then one day driving home from Immokalee, I passed, Peace Early Learning Center. It wasn't quite built yet. Right on Immokalee Road, right before you get to 951. And I saw it said Early Learning Center coming soon. So I was like, I'm going to call. So I called, and they hadn't even hired a director yet. They were still in the process of getting a director. They hadn't hired any employees. So the lady said, we'll give you a call back in a few months when we get the ball rolling. And I was like, okay, great. So she called me, and they were only offering part-time, and I was like, oh, I really need full-time. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to go. So I went in, I interviewed, and I was hired on the spot, and we started. Oh, my gosh. Josiah was 8 months old. He was our very first infant there. We just had two infants at the time. And I worked in our younger preschool side for years, floating around, doing different things. In the meantime, I had Drea. Came back, started teaching VPK, taught VPK for 9 years, loved it, still love it, eventually, I don't know, that may be my future again, but I got called out of the classroom last year when our assistant director was leaving, and I really didn't know if I was ready, but I just knew it was time, I got this. So my job sent me away to a director's retreat, I got my directors, and Whitney can attest, it lit me on fire. I was like, I've got this. This is what I want to do. I called Amber. I was like, I know what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be a preschool director. So I really didn't think it was going to come this fast. I've only had a year of admin under my belt. But when Miss Betty let us know a few months back that she was stepping down, I started praying about it. And between me and Whitney, we were like, we've got this. We've got this. There is so much peace. I'm so excited. Like Dad said, I mean, it took me 14 years to get here, but I kept my head down, I kept moving, and tomorrow I'm the director, so here we go.
Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I'm so thankful for, and I give God all the glory for my children, God and Candy. Hallelujah. So I appreciate all that he does. And Amber, we didn't say much about her. A couple of weeks ago was her happy birthday song, but I think Silas stole it all. But she shares with her husband, but herself as well, individually, one of the ministry gift calls. And how can I say this? It's like, it's one of the most important, I don't know that there's any most important, but it's so important. And it's like the Secret Service. If the Secret Service does its job, you don't know it's there. Its glory is that it has no glory. And it's supposed to remain that. If it does its job, you don't know that it's there. But I won't say the most, but I will say as much as any, and I've been in the ministry 40 years, but one of the most pure ministry gifts in that area that I've ever witnessed. And we appreciate her as well. Praise God. And her husband. Hallelujah. I guess we'll give Mike some hallelujah. Glory. You know, let me exhort you just for a moment. I'm not going to say much about the offering, except that, by the way, Sunday nights are teeming, aren't they? And it's not numbers. It's a presence. It's a birthing. And there was some birthing went on last week. It was incredible. It's going to go that way again this week, I can tell you. Tonight I'm going to share. He spoke to me this morning. He wants me to share. We're going to have Gay come again. And after she comes, I'm going to, at some point, bring forth some decrees. But prior to that, I'm going to share a visitation that I had with an angel and angels about 35 years ago that led me to this point. And I'll tell a story and tell you what God has revealed to me and how that those angels and a particular angel was involved. And it ties into what we're doing on Sunday nights. So there are people that are all over tuning in now to these Sunday nights, and there's very few, and that's okay. There's no condemnation. Actually, I'm asking God that only those that need to be here will be here. So we're not even asking people to come. We're just asking God to bring the people as He wills. And I'm so thankful for you, and I'm so thankful for this church. It is a molting, going through phases. You know, there's no life unless life is changing. The Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning. I wrote it down. He said something along the lines of tectonic plates. And if you know what tectonic plates, it's a when the continents were, and I can't prove this, science says it's so, but I don't have a word base. But if you look at the land mass, you see that all of the land mass basically was one land mass at one time. And probably because of the flood, and if you go to the Ark encounter, they'll tell you the tectonic plates separated at the flood. And there's some real changes, incredible changes, tectonic plate changes that are taking place in our church, in our call. We're about to, and I'm not saying this to hype you up or even to encourage you. I hope it does encourage you, but it's not even meant for that. It's just, it is what it is. We're about to enter and are entering into a harvest season, an incredible harvest season, where the emphasis will be on souls, people being born again, and kingdom of God coming as in the harvest. The church that we once knew, and I love the church. We've probably got 6 to 8, maybe 10 families in a very small church that were here from the beginning or know anything about the beginning. The rest is new, And I've realized that, and it's taken God a while for me to understand this, that, I mean, there's a small crowd again here this morning, relatively, but you're all so appreciated. But there's about, let's say if on a good Sunday we have 75 people, and that's possible. There's at least four times that many people that watch us, about four times that many people that attend this church. Now, they don't just, many of those are not attendees as in looky-loos. They are ardent watchers. And they're ardent in the sense of the word, they send in offerings, prayer requests. So, and I'm not trying to elevate myself, I'm just saying there's a church that most of you don't know that's four times bigger than this. I've come to realize with, I pray with all humility, that I'm pastoring about 300 people now. And I'm communicating with these people. I'm talking to these people. They're sending in offerings. They're sending in prayer requests. And they're part of this church. They're part of, many of them are part of every service, which is wonderful. They're your brothers and sisters. And it's so wonderful that they're watching and they're being a part and they're believing God with us. And so what I'm saying is, just like an eagle goes through a molten stage and that he loses all of what he was and then he becomes a new eagle, we're a church that was, and we always appreciate our roots, but we're going from one place and we've already gone through one change and we're going through several more, but we're coming to a real tectonic plate change where there's going to be some major changes, not as far as people is concerned, but emphasis by the Holy Spirit and where we're headed. And it's going to be exciting, very exciting. Miss Barbara Unlin was standing outside last week, and she was saying something, and I thought, I better pause, and because she's telling me something, I better really concentrate. She was like, because I heard her say something in my peripheral, but, you know, you're busy and service is over. And so she was saying how blessed she was, and she was looking. And I said, yes, ma'am, what is it? And she said, the church, it's a blessing. We are a thriving or living church because look at all this. And the kids were being led out, and we're a young church, and we're an older church. But it's wonderful to hear one of our older, not old, but older adults say the life, and she basically said this, the life of the church is look at all these kids. And the life of any church is the millennials and the Gen Zs coming up. If you don't have that, the elderly are just, oh my God, we have to have the elderly. We have to have the wisdom. But you have to have this young generation coming up, fueling this thing, being discipled and being brought forth and understanding so that they themselves can disciple this generation that's coming in. Hallelujah. And we have a great, though we're small and there's even less here today than there is normally sometimes. But on a given Sunday, there's just a lot of little ones running around here. But there's a lot of young adult families that are producing these little ones. And when I'm saying young adults, I'm talking about 30s, 40s. And I'm still a young adult. But I'm not in that group. But I've been called to labor with these, with all elders, and help produce. Hallelujah. So we're going somewhere. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I appreciate all of you that give online, all of you that give here on a weekly basis, or whenever the Lord is speaking to you. We thank you, and without you, it wouldn't be possible. So let's just pray. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We thank you for this offering this morning. We thank you for the grace of God and the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask you, Lord, now to bless the homes of the individual to bless the homes of the couples, to bless the homes of the families. Lord, that your grace will abound, this blessing concerning finances will come to them. Let them be blessed. Let them, Lord, be full of your blessings financially. And we just pray that in Jesus' name, the grace of God will cause that river of blessing to flow over into this ministry as you will in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless. Hallelujah. Well, good things are happening. We're not putting our trust in man, but praise God. The big, beautiful bill got passed. Hallelujah. And it's going to be more money even for Social Security checks. You can look forward to that, it says, even before the end of the year. So if you're on Social Security, I think you can look forward to even that. Hallelujah. More money to give to the church. Hallelujah. So let's all stand. Hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. And if you have something to give, you can give it here or in the box in the back. And we appreciate all of you being here this morning. This is not the close of the service. Stay with us. If you want to say hi to somebody, kids are being dismissed. Amen. There's a lot of AI falsehoods going on that nowadays they're even playing on inspirational stuff. So I can almost always spot it now. There's this one thing going around, and they're taking different celebrities and politicians, and the reason why I'm bringing it up, I just got one on, the reason why my phone's even on or out here is because I was going to read that about Davey's job. But there's a lot of so-and-so brought so-and-so to tears in what they said, and it's all AI. Usually it's a, you can hear that it's a manufactured voice, and it's not the actual people standing there. Although they can get where now they can probably manufacture that as well. But there's a lot of stuff that 2 years ago I would be like really ready to send forward to friends. Now I get it, and I'm like, wow, that's cool if it's real, but it's half the stuff. And how many of you are going to jail because you haven't paid your tolls for your, all of us, yeah, all of us. I mean, when are they going to catch those people? Dear God, I mean, I've been going to jail now for 6 months. Are they going to take my license? And Jesus. Even when I go now, you know, if I have a doctor's appointment or something I have to go to or check up or whatever, and there's always residual, you know, when you pay for something, you didn't pay for it. You're just like, oh, got to go home and find out where the rest of them are coming from. But, listen, be very careful when you open those things up. It's best to call the actual place and talk to. And don't call the number that they gave. Google it and make sure that you got a legitimate website. And call that website number. Speak to a representative. Because we're living a different world. It's totally different. It'll never go back. You can't hope that it'll go back. It won't go back. You just have to learn by the Holy Spirit to begin to function in this one with all the safeguards that he gives us. Hallelujah. I said to Harry, and I'm going to say this because this is mainly, I said, I kind of privately said it to him, but I'll just say this out loud because more and more people will be coming, especially for our leaders, and this is no indictment because I've done it before myself. Sunday night is changing, and we're going to do some ministry, and all of us are going to be doing ministry. At times I'm going to have you probably coming up here doing ministry. Miss Gay is ministering with me on Sunday nights, and her. So I'm asking leadership and people, you know, basically dress a little bit. You don't have to dress up, no different now, but I'm saying probably no shorts because of where we're going. we're Florida. I've actually been in here and taught on Sunday night. I remember doing part of that series. Listen, if you're a pastor living in every state and every is different, we are Florida. We're basically another Hawaii kind of setting. So what's acceptable for up north or out west is what's unacceptable is, listen, I go into restaurants in Naples or in Fort Myers where millionaires, not that I'm one of them, but or billionaires come in there, and the billionaires down here dress in nice shorts and a collared shirt. So that's, you know, this is a different state. There's a beach all the way around us, all the way. It starts up there and goes all the way around us. So it's acceptable. So, like I said, I've even taught up here with some, you know, nice shorts on or something. I won't do it anymore because we've got so many hundreds of different people from all over. So I'm just saying we kind of have to change a little bit. Now, don't you come in here with no jacket and tie on and all that stuff. Hallelujah. That won't get you up here. Hallelujah. Glory. It's okay if you know, I'm not inspecting people. So wear your nice whatever, and that's good. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you, glorify you. Harry, why don't you go up there and, I tell you what, why don't you spoil me and give me what, you know, what I really like this time. Hallelujah. There is a piece of grass right here that's bothering me. Does that make me OCD? I don't know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Help me. Please help me to get this over. You're the one, Holy Spirit. Let it bleed into our lives. Let it become a revelation to all of us. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Prepare us as you've been preparing us for 30 years plus. But things accelerate towards the end of anything. Bring us into this place that you've lavished. You've lavished it with presence, with power, with all kingdom principles and righteousness. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. I glorify you. Transfer this, give it over, translate this understanding, this feeling, this revelation to the body, to those here, to those that are watching. Kingdom of God, truly come. Truly come. We exalt you, Jesus. Harry, you can stay there. You can get comfortable. You don't even have to continue to play. But there will be points here that we might go back into worship. This is a moment in time or service that although you have already stood at three more points in this lesson, I'll have you stand with me for just a moment, and we'll do some sending. When I say sending, we will commission angelic host based on the word of God at that moment of scripture, and that will be in context with that scripture. And I will expect and hope that I receive your authority with me, and those of you that are watching, it's up to you if you stand, but please confess or decree, might be a better word, with us this morning. Based on the scripture, last Sunday morning we did that. We talked about revival and angels and open heaven. It was amazing to me that Gary, the day before, had taught a lesson. I knew that he was going to do it, but I wasn't even conscious of that lesson coming up when I began to hear the Lord. It wasn't something I was like, okay, I've got to teach something along that lines. But the lessons were really, really close. Same Holy Spirit, and God's doing an incredible thing through all of us, and Pastor Jim Martin, some things that he's teaching, preparing us all for revival. It's incredible, and we give God all the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But this morning, I want us to, let me give you a couple of scripture first, two or three scripture that's familiar. Go with me to Psalms chapter 103, verse 20. And we'll look at that, 21, 22, 23, or yeah, 21 and 22. And then we'll go over to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. And then we'll start a lesson out of Isaiah chapter 43. But I'll give you these as we go. Psalms 103, verse 20 says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his," still referring to angels, "that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." So again, we've, over the last couple of lessons, and I think Wednesday night we went over this once again, that hearkening to the voice of his word is the word we're speaking based on the word of God, that these angelic beings, we are definitely not in a mode that we are bringing an attention to angels so that we're anywhere ready to begin to put them or replace them in a place of our total dependency on the Holy Spirit continually. But the Holy Spirit mentioned by Scripture angels 180 times in the New Testament. So it's important for us to understand how they co-labor with the Holy Spirit, with the saints. And here we have an Old Testament scripture that says that they hearken to the voice. There are multiple categories of angels having multiple assignments. We have a great host of angels here this morning. And I believe that every individual has at least two angels, and I believe I could give you a scripture on that, but I won't do that right now. But I have myself a number of angels that I know that are assigned to me, that has been revealed to me by the Holy Spirit and helping me going forward in what I'm supposed to accomplish. So it says here in verse 20 that they hearken, in other words, they are listening to the voice of his word. Let me look at it with specs on here. "That do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word." In other words, they hearken and they will respond to the voice of his word. Now let's go over to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. I don't even have these marked in my Bible, so I'm going there with you. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, it says, I'll start in 13 so you'll know it's a reference to angels. "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering," speaking of these angels, spirits, "sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs," the heirs of salvation? Or you go to other translations, you'll know that is current, being current heirs of salvation. They have been sent to minister for and with. They don't just do whatever you flippantly would say. Your voice has to have the word in it. It has to have a responsibility of the word in it. It has to be not self-centered or self based on the flesh. But if you are doing those things and speaking those things that are, let's say, congruent or work with revival or kingdom of God, these mighty, I'm going to call them mighty men of valor, which are head and shoulders above myself, and some of them probably are stories high, I don't know, but very, very strong. By the way, they're much more intelligent than we are, much more, and much more powerful, but we're the ones with the authority. Isn't that amazing? Much more powerful, much more intelligent, but we're the ones with the authority. The Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning twice when I was just starting to wake up and pray, and he said, "You're the one with the authority." And I said, I was listening, and then I know when it's him, he just comes right back, "You're the one with the authority." And he was speaking about this message in particular. So it's amazing to me. I'm still in awe, and I'm not. My fellowship, my worship is time spent with Holy Spirit and Jesus. And Jesus sits right over there, not here, over there to my right in my prayer closet. He doesn't really. I don't want you to think he does. But he does in the person of the Holy Spirit. And Father is in there with me and Holy Spirit. But they're one. And don't ask me to explain all of that. Not in this lesson. But it's incredible. I appreciate the ministry of God, the God, the one God. But are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister the heirs of soterior or sozo or salvation? The word is that we've received this as an inheritance, and they're part of our inheritance. They're the ones that come to bring forth our inheritance. So let's go to one other place before we go to Isaiah, because we've had a good time this morning, but time is ticking. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs. Ecclesiastes, if you're kind of looking for that. Ecclesiastes. I'll find it myself in a minute. Okay. Chapter 5. Hallelujah. So what we've been talking about, how that they respond to the word, how they listen to us as we grow up, as we mature in Christ, we're much more careful with our words. We don't get into bondage. We can still tell a joke or make people laugh or have a good time, but we don't say things that are contrary to the truth of God's word. We don't spoil God's blessings. We don't spoil our confessions over healing. I'm not saying an angel is a healer, although I think they co-labor with the Holy Spirit. The angel that touched Jesus in the garden, virtue obviously passed from him to Christ because he strengthened him. Something came out of him. Again, I will underscore, they are not the healer. The finger of God, which is the Holy Spirit, is, but they receive their power given to them the same place we give our power, which is Holy Spirit, God, the third person, the Godhead. So they can't assist, they can't work with the Holy Spirit in virtue and healing and ministry and those kinds of things, and it's a really wonderful ministry. But they hearken to the voice of God's word, they hearken, and they will listen to what you say, and that's where we have to clean up our sayings, because they're hearkening and they're listening. And this is incredible scripture here. The Holy Spirit brought it up to me this morning. I hadn't thought of it in a while. He brought it up. I had to even look it up because I wasn't quite sure. Let's look at verse 1, Ecclesiastes 1, and we'll read down through 6. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Boy, this would be a good instruction for all of us. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth, therefore let thy works be few, or thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of busyness, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words, In another place in Ecclesiastes, it says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. In other words, if you just talk, you're eventually going to speak foolishness. Slow down. Slow down. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not. Now, this is important. This is to all of us. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Mouth, flesh to sin. Mouth, flesh to sin. Mouth, flesh to sin. In other words, mouth, hush, be quiet. You're talking too much. And in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, meaning there's not a lack somewhere. If you say too much without thinking and engaging your spirit, you're going to be crosswise of the word-based confessions. And I'll read this verse again because I've kind of chopped it up. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say, this is incredible, neither say thou before the angel, you could say your angel or angels, that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of thy hands? What is he saying here? Well, we could probably go to other translations that bear it out. He's saying this, don't say something because your angel's standing right there listening. Why is that important? Somebody said, well, he's not God. No, but he's sent by God to carry out things. And he said, don't say it. How did he say that there? It's I love the King James there. He says, neither say thou before the angel it was an error. In other words, oh, I'm just kidding. I was just... And you're not saying that necessarily with the thought that he's standing there. But don't say, oh, it was just an error. It was a slippy. Folks, we got to really realize the more you go into Christ and learn from him the authority that you have to exact or put out there, the more you realize your words are so critical. And he said, don't say to the angel or before the angel, I was just kidding. What's the things that, you're talking to your buddy and you guys are laughing. Oh, I'm so broke. I can't pay attention. Ha 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 ha. He don't think it's funny. He's sent by God to take your words of prosperity and go out there. Don't say in front of this angel, because he's here. God makes us, this is amazing. This verse makes us responsible to an angel, not to God. I mean, God is God, but it subdivides and brings down that there's some kind of responsibility, not that they're the ones who forgive our sins. They don't. We're led by the Holy Spirit all the time, but there is interventions of angels. Even in the New Testament, angels would come and appear. They would give instruction. They would talk to Paul on the ship and say this and that and the other. So there's those kinds of things. So we're not answering to them like a Savior or Lord, but as a co-servant. If I come and bring you in on something and say, let's go do something, I'm going to do something, and let's do something together. Okay, we've got a plan. Here's our plan. Me and Mike's got a plan, basically. And I say, Mike, okay, what we're going to go do, and we're going to go there, and I think if you do this and I do that, we're going to prosper in this. We'll get this job done, and there's going to be prosperity as a result of it. Mike goes, I'm in agreement. I'll help you. I got your back. You got my back. We'll go there. We'll co-labor together. We'll produce this together. And as a result of it, the kingdom will prosper. We'll prosper. If I get there and I start doing stuff to debilitate the work that he's doing, do you see what I'm saying? He's doing his part. But I'm over here and I'm crushing the deal by things that I'm doing and deals that I'm making that was not the agreement that me and Mike had to start with when we entered into this thing. And so he's like, this ain't going to work. Because you're destroying the agreement that we had together. Don't say, he says, before the angel, it was a slippy. If it was a slippy, go before the blood. He's not the forgiver. Go before the blood and make sure your words don't live, that they're vanquished. That'll happen to all of us at times. But if you're a person that lives by that, I'm so discouraged. I think I'm, you know, they're standing there and there's a spiritual warfare. And these angels are collaborating together to put up a shield around you. When the word talks about that he is our shield, part of that shield is not just the Holy Spirit, but this covering of, he covers us with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. The mercy seat was covered with the cherubs. So there God gives us a picture that part of his ministry to us of covering is these angelic hosts. Don't just say, oh, that was a slippy. When your mouth, foul mouth is not cussing. Foul mouth is continually saying an irresponsible, living in a place where you think, my words don't matter. Well, if they don't matter, why then confess the word on the other side? Why say, I say I am going to, why say over here, I can't buy nothing, I'm poor as a, or these spirits or these men of valor, I call them, but really spirits, angelic men or angelic host. They're working together against demonic spirits, imps, and they're fighting for us, especially during difficult times. And demons come in and they'll attack. They try to attack the emotions, but they're supposed to be a firewall, and they will fight for you. Part of the exercise of the Word of God, when you speak something, Holy Spirit takes it. Word has its own power. But who causes the Word to work? Holy Spirit. But they work in conjunction with the Holy Spirit to cause it to work. But you say, I think I'm losing my mind. Now, anybody might say something on a really horrible day, but if you're a kind of a person that's humdrum and say, I'm fighting depression. And you just put that on Facebook. Demons can read and angels can read. Angels can speak every language on the planet. Demons can speak every language on the planet. The demons are fallen angels. So they're basically as intelligent as our angels, except they don't carry the anointing. That makes ours superior to them. So these demon spirits are just infused. They get really infused by foolishness. I'm depressed. Saying it out loud. If you're depressed, go before God. Cast all that upon him. Learn his word. And then don't say that no more. And for God's sake, don't search other people or family members online that will collaborate with you. Hallelujah. I haven't even got to Isaiah 43 yet. I don't even know if I'll get there. Maybe I get one stage of this done today because he's leading me. It's so important. Again, this is in the word, people. And I know you know that. And I'm not driving this hard on you because you don't believe it. Say thou not. He says, neither say before the angel. What angel? Your angel. Your angels that have been come assigned to you. It was an error, like it just shrug your shoulders, like it didn't really matter. And they're thinking it did matter. Because I was going to go into to fight for you against that demonic force, physically, spiritually, economically. And I have your agreement. I have the Word of God, Holy Spirit-infused Word of God. I'm going to go in there. And you just neutralized. The accuser of the brethren that shows up in the book of Revelation has accused us before him night and day. And he comes in. What does he accuse us with? He accuses us with the words that we have spoken. Much of that is with the words that we have spoken. And angels are postured. Now, they don't go out erratically. In other words, I hope, you know, I gave the example like they're postured, but they don't go out without fault. There's a collaboration. I don't know how long that takes. It may take days. It may take weeks. They're very intelligent. But there's a collaboration on how do we, there's a war, there's a plan. They have to discuss. They have to discuss how do we get, now they're looking to God. That's why they ascend and descend. They're looking to the leadership of the Holy Spirit or God the Father. So they're looking to Him, but they're taking the words that we're speaking based on the Word of God and meshing this all together for the good of those who love God. And the Holy Spirit that is praying through us is taking the plan of God and passing that back down to them, the information that we need. So there's a collaboration. They put together plans to deliver us. They put together plans to prosper us. They put together plans. And so they're in this war room sometimes talking, discussing. I don't know if it's a war room like we think of, but there's a collaboration. There's multitudes of them. But they're happy. Some angels, they're all happy. There's no depressed angels. But some angels are like, look at some saints, and they look at their saint, and they're looking at other angels and saying, I wish I had your job. Because this guy or this gal, no matter what they go through, they never change. And so when I have to go up against the devil, I'll say it this way. It's probably an improper word, but I started to say energy, but it's the spiritual strength. The spiritual strength that backs them up to be able to, I don't know what they do, for Gabriel to be held up for 21 days and Michael have to come to him and help him. There's some kind of wrestling goes on. I don't know if it's with words. I don't know if it's a force. If they're actually touching each other, I don't know that. I can't touch. I'm sure that up here with me, there's three or four, maybe five. I don't know how many angels are up here with me. I've probably walked through them a number of times, but they're in another realm, so it doesn't matter. I can't touch them. They can't touch me. But if I was in their realm, physical bodies can touch physical bodies. Spiritual bodies can touch other spiritual bodies. They can lay hold on the other. That's why the Holy Spirit, when he takes a demon and starts pulling him out, that demon is screaming because he's actually taking hold of that demonic force and pulling them out of the individual that is demonically possessed. When the Holy Spirit does that, there is that sense of the word of wrestling or pulling them out. Angels do the same. So when we speak the word of God, they go forth, and whether it's with words or whether it's just with a spiritual force that comes out of them, there's still a wrestling. There's still that takes place. And you say, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, Paul said the same thing. We wrestle not. So he used the word wrestling. So that still didn't change just because of the blood. The blood empowered all of us with authority that now we don't have to be a prophet, a pastor, teacher, evangelist, or any of those things that we just the common, as they say, Mary Wallpaper, Joe Public, can stand up and say, go in the name of Jesus. So the sword of the Spirit is our ability to take the word of God, and these angels, they take that word, that rhema word, and they do warfare. And so here in Ecclesiastes, he's saying, look, don't take away their... I'm not going to say that they become miffed at you. I'm sure they're not real happy with you. I know that. Because you have just sometimes taken a contract per se that was already sealed. It was in the mail. The check was in the mail. It was about to take place. And then we cancel it with our words. Does that make sense? I pray it does. Hallelujah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 43. We're not going to get through with this. I think it'll be good to pick up next Sunday. Hallelujah. Unless just revival breaks out. And that is very possible. Isaiah. I had no recollection of this. I knew it was in here, but I started praying yesterday morning and the Holy Spirit brought this passage up to me. And we're going to look. We've got 14, 15, 16, about 15, 16 minutes. Okay. Unless, you know, miracles start breaking out. Hallelujah. And then you'll be glad to stay. Hallelujah. good teaching you can absorb to a certain point, and then after that, there's no need to talk any more than that. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Give us one little chord, one little melody of that. One little. Let's just worship God just a little bit. Hallelujah. Because we're entering into a sphere, a time, a deliberation like we never have. The glory of God is coming. It is coming. It is coming. It is coming. The words that we spoke last Sunday night was birthing, 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 birthing. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you. It was 2 weeks ago. Birthing. Glorify you. Lead us, Harry. Worship you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
The Lamb upon the throne.
All the glory. All the glory, Jesus.
I gladly bow my knees.
Yes, Jesus.
And I worship you.
Chapter 43, we've got just enough time to read these 13 verses. We'll only stand for your benefit. We'll only stand one time at the end, so less exercise for you. But hallelujah. So look at verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 43, and this is a prophetic word. I know it's a prophetic word to us, and it's a prophetic word to anyone that is believing God for an outpouring for the kingdom of God to come in fullness. And so that's wherever you're at. It's not just Immokalee, although we're a hub. I know we're a hub, and God showed me that. And we're a territorial hub, not just a city hub. But this is a confession that we're going to do because it's prophetic to us. Now, I'll tell you, all Scripture has a present tense application. And then it has a futuristic or something that you can apply spiritually. Now, Isaiah prophesied, and he's prophesying here 120 to 140 years before the Babylonian captivity. But he's actually also prophesying, he's prophesying that the Jews would go into Babylon, that they would be, that they would go into bondage. But it was not during his time. He prophesied during the time of the Assyrian captivity. The Assyrians came in and captured the northern kingdom, the northern 10 tribes. But here Isaiah is prophesying, and he's talking about something that would take place and how that the kingdom of Israel would once again, after bondage, be restored. That's the natural application. That's the practical or the time of existence application. But there is a spiritual application to us revivalists, and I love it. Let's look at it here together. But he says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." I would say to all those who are walking through any kind of horrendous, hellacious trial, the promise to us going forward in this, as we go forward into this outpouring, God is going to deliver. God is going to keep. God is somehow going to bring you forth if you don't give up. Keep speaking the word. Keep empowering your angels. Keep empowering the Holy Spirit with the written word of God and the confessions of the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God's word. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom and Ethiopian and Seba for thee. And Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east. This is our prophetic word. I will bring thy seed. What is our seed? The seed is what he gave Christ, our inheritance. Hold your place right there. Don't leave that. Go to Psalms. Psalms, you'll have to back up a little bit towards Genesis. Go to Psalms. I'm still going to let you out at the right time unless he moves. I'm not getting caught up in too much here. Psalms, look at this. Psalms chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage, verse 1, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare, this is us, we're declaring decrees. I like this wording here. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me. And this is our prophetic word. This was given to Christ prophetically. He's given it to us as an inheritance. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. See, folks, I'm telling you, I know that you feel it. There is a harvest coming. It's now. Tremendous harvest coming. In 2 weeks from now, or a week, I hope it's next week. I'm supposed to be going out of here sometime this month. I hope it's in soon, but there'll be a funeral that'll be preached. Homer will do the biggest part of it. He's going to cast a net out there, maybe 200 or 300 of people that need Christ like nobody else. And we all need Christ. But that's just one place. There's going to be a continual outpouring of people coming in here. Listen, God's making plans. He's making plans for us to go to a... I don't really care if we stayed here forever. It doesn't matter. I'd just be just as happy to disciple right from this television people for the rest of my life. But I can see it's not gonna work that way. It's out of my hands now. It's at a point where I'm just letting go, and it's out of my hands of where we're headed. So we're headed someplace. What is our inheritance? Our inheritance is the exact same inheritance that he gave Jesus. He said, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts. You know what? Let's just stand right now. I'm quickened right now. We're going to ask based on the word of God. I wanted to finish this in Isaiah. We may have to do that next week. Let's ask him. I'll lead you in it. And Holy Spirit will help us, because what's going to happen is, and I said these angelic hosts, we've actually got hundreds, possibly thousands of angelic hosts, because the Holy Spirit's have been having me labor now for probably months concerning our confessions and the reality of what has been given to us in the spirit realm. But work with Holy Spirit now to release these angelic hosts based on Psalms chapter 2. Let's say this together. Heavenly Father,
when Jesus came
your promise to him was that you would give him the heathen, those that were not yet born of God, as an inheritance. Therefore, we say, because we are in your kingdom, and your kingdom come, and your will be done, wherever this gospel is preached, wherever this word is preached, in this region, and in all other regions believing. Angels, go forth. Gather our sons and daughters. Bring them forth in the name of Jesus. We command in the name of Jesus this great harvest. Now. 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 In Jesus' name. We release the glory of God and the power of your Spirit. Thy will be done. Angels, you've heard the word. Now go forth. Begin to bring them in. Saturate this city, this region. What was before will not be now. There will be a heaviness of the anointing of God. A conviction over this city, over this region, over every type of service, over street witnessing, over personal testifying, over funerals, over church services, over every type of service. Glory of God comes. Angels are in service with us. And there's a generation of God's glory and power being manifested over this city. Just like the glory of the glory of God shown in the wilderness. The pillar of fire that came. We say, let the pillar of God's fire rest over this region. And over all other regions believing. Angels of God, come with fire. Come with Holy Ghost fire. And minister our words. Make it simple. Make our ministry simple. Make our testimony simple. Let the lost continue to say, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I know you're thinking, well, he was in halfway through Isaiah 43 and I could start there, but that's, you quit when you're quit. You're supposed to quit. And we'll go back into that next week. Hallelujah. Tonight I'm going to share a story. Gay's going to lead us. And then we're going to do some more decrees. We love you. All those are online. Let me bless all of you. Father, I thank you for what you've given us. And I thank you that you'll keep us. And Lord, I just say in the name of Jesus, even though Satan becomes infuriated by revelation knowledge and pulling back the veil and showing what goes on in the spirit realm, we say in Jesus' name, we take authority over the scourge, over that him being able to throw fits and bring all kinds of invasions of spiritual warfare and darkness against the homes and the saints or against the church. No division, no backbiting, no talking, no excessive talking, but Lord, we speak the life of God and we release the pure flow of the Holy Spirit into this room and over these lives and over the grace of God upon us. And we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. I'll see many of you tonight and have a wonderful afternoon.